Good morning, everybody. Can I welcome you to Little Hill Church? It's good to see you and good to welcome those joining us online this morning. Good morning and welcome to you as we meet this Lord's Day morning to bring our thanks and praise to God. To call us to worship, I'd like to read from Psalm 118. We're going to be thinking about this psalm as we think about today, what we often call Palm Sunday. Wonderful words to encourage us and bless us for whatever day of the year we read them. So we'll read the first 16 verses before we sing our first song together this morning. Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in men. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They went out like a fire among thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. Well, we can add our amen even to what we've read this morning about God's goodness, his deliverance and his mercy to us. We're going to sing from the supplement a short song, 117 in the supplement, words that are very familiar with this day, Palm Sunday. You are the King of glory. Let's stand and bring our praise and worship to God. Come before the God who is our help and our strength. Our God in heaven, we come to worship you this morning because you are good. You are the God whose steadfast love endures forever. We can say your steadfast love, your mercy, your compassion to us endures forever. You are the God who has heard us when we've called to you in our distress, and you have answered us and set us free. You're the God who is close by so that we need not be afraid. Thank you, our God, that we have proved as your people that it is better to take refuge in you than to trust in man, even to trust in princes. For you, our God, cannot fail us. Though at times we feel surrounded, thank you that your love never fails to protect us. And in a greater way, we read elsewhere in the Psalms that the angel of the Lord surrounds or encamps around those who fear the Lord and delivers them. Thank you, our God, for your continued care and protection of us each day. Father, you are our strength and our song. We praise you in Christ that we have this wonderful salvation, that we can say, God is my salvation. And that as we come to worship you this morning, there are glad songs that are filling our hearts and our minds. And even as we've just sung, glad songs that praise you and worship you for the salvation and the mercy and the kindness that you have shown us, that your right hand has done great things to save us and deliver us and to keep us. And so we praise you. Thank you for bringing us together this morning to worship you. Father, there is nothing better and more profitable that we can do with our time, nothing better that we could spend our energy and our time doing than to worship and praise you. And God, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And we will bring our praise to you alone. And so please hear us, help us as we come this Lord's Day morning to worship you. Fill us, we pray, with the joy of the Lord. May your Holy Spirit be present, working among us, illuminating your wonderful truth from your precious word, that our hearts might rejoice and delight in you more. Come and be with us, we pray. Your word promises, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So in obedience to your word, we would come to you this morning. Please, we pray, be faithful to all that you've promised and meet with us here. Father, whether in the building or at home, we ask for your blessing upon our time and pray that our Lord Jesus Christ might be exalted and lifted up. And we ask all these things in his precious name. Amen. Well, let's read the rest of that psalm. We're going to be referring to it in our time in God's Word this morning. So turn back to Psalm 118 and let's finish reading. So we'll start again at verse 17 and go to the end of the psalm. As we read through this psalm, maybe more of the words will become familiar to you as we think about what we remember today. So again, Psalm 118, verse 17 to the end. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Amen. Amen. What wonderful words. And any day of the year, whatever we're going through, words that are a blessing and a joy to us as the Lord's people. Let me just run through some of the notices for you. It is a different week this week with the school holiday as we approach Easter. A lot of the regular meetings aren't happening, so please take notes more so of what's not going on this week than what is. But let me just remind you of things that are happening this week. Wednesday coming, 12:30, we have the funeral service here for Diana Scarborough. So please come if you're able. Remember that time in your prayers as we get towards that day, especially for Diana's family who will be coming and other friends that as they hear the gospel, God might be pleased to work that grace and salvation in their lives too. So please do remember that time on Wednesday. There's no Thursday meeting. Often when we're having the breaks for the school holidays, the Thursday meeting continues. But with Friday being Good Friday, we're not having a meeting on Thursday. but we will be meeting here on Friday evening at 7 o'clock. So please note the change of day and the change of time, not 7:45. We're meeting at 7 for our Good Friday service. And Gary Prickett, the pastor from Odeby, will be preaching God's word on Friday evening. And we're looking forward to some of the other local churches that we meet with joining us as well for that time. So please remember, we're not here Thursday, but we are here Friday, and it's at 7 o'clock. As we go through, we have our normal service times next Lord's Day, as we remember the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a glorious day that is to remember. 10:30 and 5:30 as well. And then the week after that, starting on the Tuesday, we have the Holiday Bible Club. It's been encouraging already, some folks getting in touch and messaging, asking about whether their children can come. So I think that's from families that we've perhaps not met that much, which is great. And all the kids at Kids Club have been having these, and there's posters up. So please do pray that we would have a really good number of children come. Pray for the team of those who will be doing the ministry and the different activities, for safety with all the games and everything that we're doing, and that the Lord would really bless that time, and that the hearts of these young ones who come would be open to receive the truth of the gospel. So that's from a week on Tuesday, Tuesday the 2nd of April. The Pilgrim Bible notes for April are available at the back, just to the right as you get to the door at the back there. Please do pick up your copy if you're using them, starting a study through 1 Corinthians in April, the first 11 chapters of 1 Corinthians. So make sure you've got those as well. All your hard work signing consent forms for your personal details has come to fruition. So the new church address list is available, and the new prayer diary as well. So again, as you go towards the doors back into the foyer, just to the left, you will find the new address list. And there's some regular ones. There's a few copies in large print as well, if you need a large print copy. And with that, the prayer diary. Now, the prayer diary idea might be new to you if you've not been coming to Little Hill Church that long. But it's something we've done for some years now at Little Hill Church. How do you use it? Well, each day, the week's broken down into each day. The top half gives information and reminders about some of the missions that we support, meetings that will be happening in the life of the church on that particular day, people who are involved helping with those meetings, and other things that it would be good as we think about the prayer life of the church to break down into the week. So it's to encourage you in your prayers, to inform you about things that are good to remember in your prayers. And then the bottom half of the prayer diary lists the folks who are the members and the regular attenders here at Little Hill Church, so that we can be praying for each other. And I find that such a blessing, because when I'm trying to remember to pray for you all, it's so helpful having your names all down there to remember everybody that's coming. And I find that a great blessing and an encouragement. And also to know as we go through the week that on different days, folks are praying for me and my family. That's also a wonderful encouragement. So please do use them. It's not that you've got to follow everything exactly through, but if it helps you in your praying for the church here, the people here, and the work that's going on, please take one and use it so that you can be better equipped to be praying for God's kingdom here at Little Hill Church. So that's what's available for you. Please do pick up your copy. With the old copies of the address lists, if you're not hanging on to it for nostalgia, please can you destroy it safely and carefully, so that we're just being careful with people's information and what happens with that. As well, I think that's all the notices, other than to say that Paul and Dalton and Kenny are out preaching this morning, so we'll pray for them as we come to God in prayer now. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for, again, an opportunity to come before your throne of grace. And as we come to you in prayer, we want to remember our brothers who've gone out from us this morning. We want to pray for Paul at Laburnum Road, for Dalton in Chesterfield, and for Kenny preaching at Mount Road in Hinckley. We want to commend them to you, to pray that you would bless them and be with them. And even as they're perhaps ministering now, that you would use them to encourage your people, to challenge those who are still outside of your kingdom of the need to trust in Christ and to glorify your name. Father, encourage their own souls, we pray, as they serve your people in this way. And our God, as we come into this week, we need your help here. We pray that you would be with us on Wednesday as we meet for the funeral service for Diana. And we ask, oh God, that you would be with those who are taking part. We pray that your word would bring comfort and the truth of the gospel would be clearly there. And for those who are grieving, that you would draw near to them. And we pray that they might know the comfort of Christ, which is so much greater than anything this world offers. Father, we think of the wonderful opportunity we have with the children coming up, with the Holiday Bible Club, and we pray for your help. We pray for the final plans that need to be made. And when we come to those days next week, we ask for your help and strength. Lord, we pray that it might please you to bring in a good crowd of children, that they would be ready to come and hear your word, and each one of them, that their hearts might be open for that precious seed to be planted deep, and that you in your timing might bring that seed to life in them and a great harvest for your kingdom. Lord, we pray, even through our weak efforts, use them for your glory and to make Christ known. How much we need you in all of this. Father, we think of our need for more church officers, and as we carry on, Lord, we think of those who will be spoken to. Some already have, but we pray for your great wisdom to guide those who have been asked. Lord, we pray that your hand might be upon them, for them to know your will. Lord, that you would be the one who is working in all of this to build up the work here at Little Hill Church and to glorify your name. And Father, we pray that in all things we would constantly and consistently look to you, that we would be guided by the truth of your word and led by the prompting of your Holy Spirit, that we might be faithful and obedient, and you would have glory. Oh, our God, we thank you for each other. Thank you for each one here this morning. Thank you for each one who regularly attends this church and for each member. And Lord, we pray that you would be working in us to make us a blessing to one another and salt and light in this community around us that is so needing to hear the gospel of Christ. Father, we pray that this Lord's Day would be a blessing to us, that our time together would be encouraging and refreshing, a time of strengthening and equipping and building us up in our faith, and that you would do your work among us. We pray that you would forgive our sins. We pray that you would have mercy upon us. We pray that you would wash us clean in the precious blood of Jesus, and that we would keep our eyes fixed on you and know your help. We especially remember those who can't be here this morning because they're unwell, some in hospital, others at home, and we commend them to your care and pray, oh gracious God, that you would meet their needs and minister to them. So please hear us and watch over us and bless our time, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, James.
Would the children like to come to the front, please? Right. Space. Lovely. Just enough, nearly. All right. Now, I need your help this morning, okay? I need your wisdom to know the difference between something that is good and something that is bad. So if something's good in today's story, I'd like you to walk, let's all walk, to the green cone. And if something's bad in today's story, I want you to walk to the red cone, okay? So let's see. We've come to the Easter story. And in my Easter story, Jesus has been arrested and he is standing before the authorities and the governor, Pilate. And Pilate gave the people a choice, like I'm going to give you a choice now. He gave the people a choice. He said, look, you can have Jesus go free, or you can have this man Barabbas go free. Now, Barabbas was a criminal, a man who had done lots of wrong things, but Jesus hadn't done anything wrong. Do you know what the people said? The people said, free Barabbas. Free him who's a criminal, Barabbas. Now, do you think that was a good decision or a bad decision? Choose. You choose. Walk to the one. If you think it was a good thing, walk over there. If you think it was a bad thing that the people chose to free the criminal Barabbas, walk over to that side. Just stay on the ground, guys, if you can. Try and stay off the steps. Just go towards the cone. That way, all the way over there. That's it. Come off the steps. Well done. Lovely. All right. Oh, everybody's in agreement there. We all think that was a really terrible decision. Good. Let's come back to the middle. You can stay standing. Stay standing. That's fine. Because we're going to choose again, okay? This time, Pilate, the governor, said, "It's not my responsibility. I'm washing my hands of this guilt. So none of this is going to be my fault, what you decide." And he let the Jewish leaders and people decide what would happen to Jesus. Do you know what they all said? Crucify him. Crucify him. Kill him on a cross. Now, do you think that was a good thing or a bad thing? You choose. You choose. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? Ooh, some indecision. Okay, we're tending towards a bad decision, yeah? We don't think that was a good thing. Okay, the people shouting for his death. Yeah, it was a terrible thing, people shouting. People had rejected him as their king. Very good. Let's come back. You can sit down for a second if you want, but we will be up again. Okay. Next, soldiers took Jesus and they made fun of him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They were making fun of him because people would call Jesus a king. They made a crown, a fake crown out of thorns and put it on his head. What a terrible thing to do. And they also took a robe, a purple robe, and put it on his shoulders. And they hit him. And they made fun of him. What do you think? Was it a good thing or a bad thing? Oh. There's no question that time, was there? It was a terrible thing. It was such a bad thing. Now, we've had lots of bad things so far in this story. What a sad story so far. What's happening to Jesus? Let's come back. Jesus was made to carry his own cross, but it was too heavy for him. And so another man helped him, a man called Simon of Cyrene. Was that a good thing, his friend helping him, or was it a bad thing? You decide. Okay, this time, we have got something good. Somebody stepped in to help Jesus. Let's come back. As Jesus was on the cross, there were two people either side of him, two criminals being crucified with him. Now, they were being punished for the things they had done wrong. At first, they both were hurling insults at Jesus, making fun of him. And then one of them carried on hurling insults and making fun of Jesus, and he was to be punished. Where do you think we're going to go now? Is that a good thing? Was that a good thing? Or was that a bad thing that he continued to make fun of Jesus? Okay, good, come back. But another one of the criminals, he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He saw that Jesus was the king and he went to heaven. Where do you think we're going this time? Okay. So one of these criminals got it wrong and one of them got it right and went to heaven that day to be with Jesus in heaven. Well done. Come back. You've got one more now to make. Now this one's really going to stump you, okay? Jesus was hanging on the cross, so there were nails put through his hands and his feet, and he hung there on the cross, and then finally we're told he gave up his life. Not that it was taken away, he decided to give it up, his life, and he died. Was that a good thing or a bad thing? You decide. Oh, very good. Oh, I thought I would trick you there. That was a very good thing, wasn't it? It's the reason we have Good Friday. Why was it good? Jesus dying. Why was it good? He died to save our sins. So actually, something that was that would be really bad and is a horrible thing, dying on a cross, actually became something really good. And boys and girls and grown-ups too, anybody that believes in Jesus, even today, will be saved. We'll go to be with him, like that criminal that was hanging with him. We'll go to be with Jesus in heaven because Jesus has promised to take away our sins, the wrong things we've done, so that we might be in heaven and enjoy heaven with him. And that is the reason we have Good Friday. So you remember that, won't you? And you'll remember to tell your friends if they get confused. What's this Good Friday? Somebody dying on a cross. Jesus dying on a cross. How is this good? You can tell them because Jesus dealt with all the sins of everyone, all the boys and girls and all the grown-ups, and he took them away when he died on the cross. Okay? Let's come back. Well done. That was really good today. You all surprised me with your knowledge. Now, Jesus, another good thing that happened, and a kind man called Joseph who had money, and he had a tomb, a cave in a garden, and it cut out of the cave was a tomb where they laid Jesus's body. And he said, look, Jesus can be in this tomb that's never been used. And then something that was bad, they put guards in front of the tomb because they said, you know what, his disciples might try and take the body and they might try and say that Jesus has come back from the dead. So they placed these soldiers in front of the tomb. I think we know, don't we, what is going to happen next week and what we're going to find out about. Did Jesus stay in the tomb? That's the question. You're all shaking your heads. Okay, I think you know he didn't stay there, did he? But we'll find out that next week. Right, let's have our song. And just to say, come and see me afterwards. I think you all did so well. I've got some little goodies for you as well, okay? So well done. Make sure you come to me as well afterwards. Okay, we're going to sing this, and then the verse there, so if we just look at the verse, he's the King of Kings, he's the Lord of Lords. Jesus on a cross was crucified, darkness covered all the land. And then what we're getting to, after 3 days, Jesus rose again. Who is this man? Play.
Sing from Christian Hymns before we turn to God's Word again. It's number 40. It's a hymn of Isaac Watts that's based on the psalm that we've read already, based on Psalm 118. This is the day the Lord hath made. He calls the hours his own. Let heaven rejoice, let earth be glad, and praise surround the throne.
Thank you.
Please turn to Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 21. We'll read the first 11 verses. This is Matthew's account of the Lord Jesus coming into Jerusalem at the start of what we call Holy Week. Matthew 21, starting at verse 1. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he shall send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, 'Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." Let's pray. Our Father, we pray that as we look at your word now, that your Holy Spirit would come to open our eyes to see the wonderful things in your word. Father, would you teach us your truth? Would you help us to see Christ? And would you work in us for your glory and our good? And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Hosanna in the highest. That's our title this morning. If you want a title for the sermon, Hosanna in the highest. We live in a world of broken promises, don't we? I can remember being young and hearing the promise, "I'll let you have a go on my bike too." It didn't happen. Maybe you've had the same experience. Or what about "till death us do part"? Or "I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth." What about something very pertinent to this year? If we get elected, we hear promises, don't we? We hear promises, and yet we live in a world of broken promises. How refreshing to read this today and look at what we are looking at today. Thinking of the Lord Jesus coming into Jerusalem. Around or against, rather, the backdrop of this world's deceptions and disappointments and the despair that that leads us to, we are again confronted with God's faithfulness and the fulfillment of what he has promised to do. And I don't know about you, but when we come to that, living in the world we live in, I find that so refreshing and so helpful. And perhaps the disappointments of the promises of this world make the faithfulness of God seem even greater. And so this morning I want us to look at Matthew 21 and to keep your finger or bookmark in Psalm 118 as well, because we're going to be going between the two as we go through our time in God's word this morning. The first thing I want us to do, starting in Matthew 21, is to set the scene. Our first point is necessary in setting the scene for what's going on, this moment in history. 12 years ago in Manchester, a couple were getting married at Manchester Town Hall, and they noticed that our late Queen, Her Majesty the Queen Elizabeth, was going to be on a royal visit to Manchester the same day, and so they lightheartedly sent a wedding invitation to Buckingham Palace. They perhaps received the greatest shock of their lives when Her Majesty the Queen came to their wedding. Now, you think of what happens when there's a royal visit somewhere. And the crowds that come out, maybe you've seen one of the ones when members of the royal family have visited Leicester, or you've been to events in London, and the streets are lined, aren't they? And the crowds are there wanting to see them. Well, if you've got that picture in your mind, this is what's going on in Jerusalem as the Lord Jesus Christ approaches. The crowds are there. And there's the pilgrims that have been traveling to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. You've got the people who live in Jerusalem that are kind of coming out as well. And they've been hearing the great things that Jesus has done. And they're kind of in that excited festival mood as well, anticipating the celebration of the Passover. And Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth, is riding into Jerusalem. And so if you think of the crowds and the shouting and the cheering at one of our late Queen's visits, if you've been there, think of that and you're about on the same page. The excitement, the anticipation of what's going on as Jesus rides into Jerusalem. And Psalm 118, words from Psalm 118 are what they're shouting as Jesus approaches. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Why Psalm 118? Psalm 118 is a psalm of deliverance. If you just flick back to it and look at verse 5, it's introduced to us quite early on. Out of my distress, the psalmist writes, I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. It's a psalm of deliverance. It's one of the psalms, though we don't know when it was written and who wrote it. It's one of the psalms that they would have sung at the time of or approaching the Passover. As the pilgrims made their way up to Jerusalem, as they approached the day when the Passover lamb was to be offered, they would have sang the psalms. And this is one of the psalms that they would have sung because it's a psalm of deliverance, a psalm of God showing mercy and rescuing and keeping and preserving his people. And if you think of the Old Testament context of where this psalm sits, it sits in the book of Psalms with the other psalms that the exiles having come out of or are soon to come out of exile in Babylon would have sung. It speaks of returning to the temple in Jerusalem to praise the Lord for delivering them and for rebuilding them according to his plans and purposes that he had for Israel, to give them, after days of sorrow and slavery and mourning, to give them a day of gladness and rejoicing. And it likely refers in the history that the psalm is relating to back to the time of Exodus. If you look at verse 13 of Psalm 118, I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. Think of their time in slavery in Egypt and how they cried out to God to deliver them. And the Lord sends Moses, let my people go. And he leads them out. God's mighty hand is seen in the plagues and parting the sea and providing for them. And it's this mindset of God's favor and his deliverance to them, his salvation. And Passover explicitly reminds them of God's deliverance. You're to offer the lamb and put the blood over the doorposts and the lintels. And as the destroyer comes over the land of Egypt to slay the firstborn, if I see the blood, I will pass over you. We read in Exodus 12, God delivered his people out of slavery and bondage. And Passover was the annual reminder. God had commanded them to keep this festival to remember their deliverance. And so these themes are so fresh in their minds. But think of the first century context for them as well. In Jerusalem, they're very aware that they are under Roman occupation. Israel is longing for deliverance from its current oppressors. Would Jesus be the Messiah that they wanted? Would he be the one who would come and deliver them from Rome and establish them as a great nation again? If you look back to Matthew 21, think of one of the Hosannas. What do they shout? Hosanna to the Son of David. Who's David? David is the great warrior king of Israel. He's He's the warrior that defeated Goliath. He's the one who defeated the Philistines. He's the one that captured Jerusalem and established it as the city of David. He's the great king that they look back to. And maybe they're thinking, it's in their minds, Hosanna to the Son of David. Here's the new David. But they missed the clues, didn't they? They missed the clues. He's not riding into Jerusalem on a war horse, but on the colt, the foal of a donkey. It's an image that should have brought to their mind not war and battle in that earthly sense, but humility and peace. You see, the Lord Jesus was riding into Jerusalem to do battle with sin and death, not to make war with Rome. Their reason for rejoicing was misplaced, and it was misunderstood. You know, they were very much in the mindset of, we want Jesus to come and fix the here and now, the problems that we're facing now. We want him to come and deal with what's going on now. And their attitude soon changed when they realized that's not what he'd come to do, as James was explaining to the children. Do you know, as we set the scene, do you misunderstand Jesus? Do you misunderstand Jesus? Do you misunderstand what and who he is? Are you thinking that Jesus is just someone who will come and deal with your problems today and make your life better now? There's a big difference between the Jesus that people want and the Jesus who really is. And it's the Jesus who really is, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we need to keep fixing our eyes on. So that's the scene set. That's the crowd. That's the Lord Jesus riding into Jerusalem and us hopefully seeing the need to be careful that we understand what's going on. And so our second point, if we've set the scene in the first point, our second point is that we see the real reason. We see the real reason. And quoting from Psalm 118, we read in Matthew 21 and verse 9. Let me read that for you again. The crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Quoting from the end of Psalm 118, verse 26, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Well, what is it that he's coming to do? What is it that he's coming to do? He's coming to do what God has promised. He's coming to do what they'd experienced in that psalm earlier of God hearing the cry of his people and answering them and setting them free. He's coming to bring salvation and to bring deliverance. And as we look at this psalm, particularly verses 19 to 27, we can see clearly what it is that the Lord Jesus is coming to do. And as we go through, there are five things that stand out. Some of them start with the phrase, This is the gate of the Lord. This is the Lord's doing. This is the day the Lord has made. But the other things that we're going to look at use very similar language. So where we read this is, it's very similar to where we read has become or have become. Because they're pointing us to something definite and true. And you know, we have the privilege of looking back on this. We can understand this fully in the light of the cross, and that's what we're going to do. That's what we have to do. So as we move through these points quickly, the first thing that we see, and have your Bibles in Psalm 118 for the time being, the first thing we see Jesus coming to do, the one who's blessed, coming in the name of the Lord, he's coming to open the way. Verses 19 and 20, open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them, and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. Jesus was coming to open the way. You see, the way was closed to sinners. God, being a holy God, could not be near sinful people. That's why Adam and Eve are banished from the Garden of Eden. That's why the tabernacle had the curtain that separated the most holy place. And when they built the temple, the great curtain that separated the Holy of Holies, where only the high priest could go once a year on the Day of Atonement. God's presence was off limits. There was no way. But Jesus is coming to open the way. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. How is that going to be possible? Well, we know Jesus, who is the righteous one. Paul explains this for us. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We read as we go on through our New Testaments that we see that the righteousness that we need to approach God isn't achieved by our hard work. This word righteous in Psalm 118 is speaking of those who are right by the law with God and with their fellow man. And that's unattainable for us. But through faith in Jesus Christ, the perfect righteousness of Christ becomes ours. And suddenly, this becomes possible. Open to me the gates of righteousness as I enter into the presence of God in the Psalms context to worship. And now, through Christ in the new covenant, as I come into the presence of God, this is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. Those whose faith is in Christ have been made righteous. They have the right to come in through this way into the presence of God. And what is it that Jesus himself said he was? I am the door of the sheep. If anyone comes through me, think of what he said shortly before his betrayal and arrest. I am the way. This is the gate of the Lord. Jesus came to open the way. And think of what happens in that moment he dies. That curtain is torn in two. The way is open. He's coming to open the way. But secondly, he's coming to bring salvation. Look at verse 21 in Psalm 118. I thank you that you've answered me and have become my salvation. Verse 25, save us, we pray. Oh Lord, we pray, give success. Verse 27, the first bit of verse 27, the Lord is God and he has made his light to shine upon us. Light shining upon us is a picture in the Bible of God's salvation. And the psalmist writes here, you have become my salvation. Or this is my salvation. This is the gate of the Lord. This is my salvation. It's a salvation outside of self-achievement and effort and work. If you want an illustration, think of the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah when he was thrown in the well. Was there any way Jeremiah was getting out of that well without the help of someone else? No. Others came and rescued him. Salvation here is speaking of salvation outside of ourselves. Someone else having to get involved and save us. And that's why Jesus is coming, because we can't save ourselves. That's why in verse 25 we have that prayer, save us, we pray, O Lord. Bring us to the open space and freedom that we need because we are captive in our sin. And what is it that the Lord Jesus does a few days after coming into Jerusalem? He dies to take the penalty for our sin. His blood that is shed on the cross is the ransom that is paid to set us free. Paul explains this for us. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might become the righteous. Salvation that would come through the forgiveness of sins. He comes to open the way. He comes to bring salvation. He comes, thirdly, to lay the foundation that we need. Verse 22, back in Psalm 118, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, or the stone the builders rejected, this is the cornerstone. When we were in New York a few weeks back, opposite the hotel we were staying in, there was a building site, and the only thing that was happening was them building the foundations of what was going to be probably quite a tall building. And you could take Little Hill and drop it twice into this hole in the ground. It was going to be a pretty impressive foundation. And you think of how high some of those buildings go, you can understand why. But you think that's going to be a solid foundation. That's huge. It's not just the 6 foot that our houses enjoy, hopefully. A really, really deep, really, really solid foundation. Christ was coming to lay the foundation. And he would be the cornerstone. We use that a lot, but what does it mean? The stone at the edge of the foundation that sets the whole building and sized the whole building. The rest of the angles and the shape was kind of determined by that cornerstone. It was the most significant stone in the foundation. And Christ, the scriptures tell us, is the cornerstone. But it tells us here, and we know it's repeated in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus himself quotes it. It's the stone that the builders rejected. And that word means loathsome. The stone was loathsome to the builders. It's the same word that we read of in Job. How he loathes the open sores, the festering.
We read as we go on through our new
suffering. It's that kind of loathsome. They hated him. And we see that coming out. The Pharisees, the scribes, the rulers, they rejected the cornerstone. They rejected the Messiah. They rejected the Christ. But what does it say here? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Christ, in spite of what they thought of him, was coming to lay the foundation. And we know from other things that he himself taught, if anyone hears these words of mine and does them, he'll be like a man building his life on a rock, his house on a rock, rather. What is it that his words command us to do? To repent, to believe, to obey all that he's commanded us. And when we build our lives on Christ, we're building on the most sure and solid foundation. The Apostle Peter uses that language in 1 Peter 2. He quotes from this psalm himself to speak of the temple that God is building, and it's built on this foundation, which is Christ. The Apostle Paul does the same thing, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Ephesians 2, Christ Jesus being the cornerstone. The foundation on which the church is built and is stable is the Lord Jesus Christ. He was coming so that he would become the cornerstone, to lay the foundation. This is the cornerstone. But moving on from that, we get to verse 23. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. We see that he's come to open the way and bring salvation, to lay the foundation. But we see next, he's come to perform and fulfill God's marvelous plan. He's coming to fulfill God's marvelous plan. The whole of history is God's plan. The whole of history is God's plan. God is the supremely sovereign ruler of all time. And here is another part of it, that Christ the Son is coming to fulfill, to honor his Father. This is the Lord's doing. This is the next, this is the Lord's doing. This is God's plan. This is God's will. This is what God wants. And in spite of man's own plans to destroy the Christ, because of their jealousy and their envy and their bitterness and their hatred and the darkness and sinfulness of their own hearts, God is still working his plan out. And the Lord Jesus delights to fulfill this plan. Think of a bit later on in Matthew, if we were to turn to Matthew 26, and we read of the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing all that he was going to face, yet not my will, but yours be done. This is the Lord's doing, and I'm going to fulfill it. And I'm going to keep it, and I'm going to make sure it gets done. God's plan that started right back in Genesis 3, when he promises as a savior, a deliverer, that's worked out as the Old Testament grows and grows in this picture of the deliverance that the promised one would bring. What we read in the Psalms, what we read in Isaiah. And the Lord Jesus has come to perform and fulfill God's marvelous plan. And that word marvelous. It means beyond great and glorious, uniquely and supremely amazing. It's hard to kind of define it, in, to make it as great and fantastic a word as it really is. We marvel at what God is doing, is what is being spoken of here. God's awesome salvation. He's come to open the way, bring salvation, lay the foundation for our lives to be built on individually and as the church, to be solid and stable and secure. He's come to perform and fulfill God's marvelous plan, but he's also come to bring the day of salvation and rejoicing. Look at verse 24. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. He's come to bring the day of rejoicing and gladness, to bring the day of salvation that we need. This is the day. Think of where else we read in Scripture of days. Think of the warning in Psalm 95. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. If you hear of God's salvation, don't turn away from it. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. And think, this day that the psalm was speaking of prophetically, looking at when Christ would come and bring this ultimate, true, full, eternal salvation, this day is preparing us for that day that's still to come. Because the scriptures speak of another day, the day of the Lord, the day when Christ will return, and he won't be coming to bring grace and mercy and salvation as he does here, as we look in Matthew 21, the next time that Christ returns, he's coming to bring judgment. And there will not be an ounce of grace in that day for those who have rejected Christ. There won't be a drop of mercy for those who've said, I don't need the gospel. There won't be one moment of time left to turn and ask for forgiveness of sins. Because that moment Christ returns, that's the end of history. That's time up. And so this day of salvation and gladness and rejoicing is preparing us for that day. This is the gate of the Lord. This is my salvation. This is my cornerstone. This is God's marvelous plan. This is the day of salvation and rejoicing. But you know, as we look at all this in light of Christ, it's so much more than this is. It's he is. He is. He is the way. He is my salvation. He is my foundation. He is the one who performs and fulfills God's perfect plan and will. And he is the one who has brought this day of rejoicing. This is the gospel. Why was Jesus coming into Jerusalem? He's bringing the gospel to pass. He's making it happen. And all those who by faith before looked to the one who would come, and all those saints who look back. This is why Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. He came for you. He came for you. And you know, if you're outside of Christ, this day, the 24th of March 2024, could be the day of salvation for you and the day of rejoicing and gladness when the burden of your heart rolls away, as that lovely hymn says. This day can be the day where, like Pilgrim in that story of John Bunyan, that great weight of guilt falls off your back and you know that you're free. This day could be the day that you know I have peace with God and a home prepared for me in heaven and nothing to fear on that day when Christ returns. This day could be the day for you. You're not sure about tomorrow, none of us are. But you're sat here now. We've set the scene. We've seen the real reason why he was coming. Thirdly, and it gets a bit quicker here. Thirdly, sing his praise. I didn't know how else to make this point heading. But just when you think about everything he was coming to do, I don't know if you know, but this year, 2024, is the 200th anniversary of the RNLI, the Royal National Lifeboat Institute. Testaments that and we see that the righteousness that we need to approach God isn't achieved by our
but you know
hard
who celebrated
work this word
it most in Psalm 118 is speaking.
I would almost guarantee it's those whose lives
the prayer diary idea might be new to you.
The people who are celebrating that anniversary
endures
the most
forever.
Are the people
Amen.
Who've been plucked out of the sea and rescued. And you know who should be celebrating this day that the Lord has made most? Those who know that God's salvation has become their salvation. Those who can say, God is my salvation. Do you know, you think of those crowds that welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem and how excited they were. Do you know, more so, we can't keep quiet. We can't keep quiet. Knowing the real reason is greater cause for rejoicing. You look at Psalm 118 and think of it in the gospel context of your own salvation. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. I've taken refuge in the Lord and not trusted in man. And I've been saved. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He has opened the gate of righteousness to me. And given me the righteousness that I need to enter into it. He's become my salvation. I am built on Christ, the solid rock. And this is God's doing and it can't be undone. And nobody can change what God's done. Christ is my cornerstone. And this is beyond incredible and wonderful and marvelous. And so this day I will rejoice and be glad. And I will give to Christ the glorious praise that he deserves. And my soul will make its boast in the Lord. And I will rejoice. And I won't be embarrassed to appear excited that I've been saved from sin and death and hell. Because I have. And if you have too, your heart should be dancing to think of what you've been saved from. I've been set free. Christ has died for me. And I am forgiven. To be able to say, like we read in Psalm 118, verse 28, you are my God, is an incredibly marvelous thing. You are my God, I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Think of the glory and praise that Christ received when he went back. I often think Psalm 24 is that picture of Christ coming through the clouds into heaven as he ascends back to the Father. And the gates of heaven are lifted off to welcome back the conquering King. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors, that the King of glory might come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle, the Lord who did battle with sin and Satan and death and hell and crushed them at the cross and left them defeated in the tomb. This is the Lord of hosts. And you know, greater than the rejoicing that was welcoming Christ into Jerusalem will be the rejoicing of that day when he returns for his people. Paul writes to the Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 1:10, on that day when he appears, to be marveled at amongst his saints. To be marveled at. There's that same thing. This is marvelous in our eyes. Christ will come and we will marvel. And to be worshipped, to be adored amongst his people. But we don't have to wait till then. Give him glory now. Give him glory now. Worship him now. Like Paul says to the Romans, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. Why? In view of God's mercy, what God's done for you. As we wrap things up, what difference should this day make to your day today? What difference should this day make to your day today? Well, brothers and sisters, this is the reality that your deliverance and your hope is built on. This is the reality that your deliverance and your hope is built on. God keeps his promises. God's timing is perfect. And think about this, because we don't often do this, but think about this. Those years ago in history, the Lord Jesus Christ was riding into Jerusalem for you, for you, for you. He was riding into Jerusalem to go to that cross for you, if you are his. That's a mind-blowing thought, isn't it? We live 2,000 years later, and yet he was going into Jerusalem to save me, to rescue me. Can you see how marvelous this is? This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our sight. It's not a better word for it. We can't fully define it. And that's good. This is supremely, uniquely, amazingly awesome and glorious. And God has done it. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Let's pray. Father, through your Son, you have rescued us. We bow before you, the God of matchless grace and mercy. And we thank you that you loved us so much. That on that day, those 2,000 or so years ago that we remember this Palm Sunday, Christ our Savior was riding into Jerusalem to deliver us, to save us, to rescue us. Fill us with the joy of this day. This is the day the Lord has made. This is the day of salvation, the day of rejoicing, the day of gladness. Fill our hearts with a greater wonder at how great your love for us is. And even with the trials and the challenges that we're going through, the promises that this world has failed to keep to us, we can rest in you because you are faithful. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's finish singing our last hymn, 113 in Christian hymns, "To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Has Done."
Thank you.
You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Amen.